This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our mind and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. If we are paying attention, if we're awake, we can see God in everything. Certainly in Scripture, but also in books, in movies, in all of creation. In relationships when they're going well, and in relationships when they are challenging, God and God's love can be seen everywhere, beckoning us to respond in love. And we respond either in love or fear. It's always one or the other. In the really hard situations of our lives, in the face of evil or the face of fear, we're called to love the most when it's the hardest. I just finished a novel called, it was based on a true story, a novel called The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Maybe some of you have read it. It's a great book. And it's based on this story of Lyle, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, as told to the author directly. And he tells this tale of himself and his beloved Gita, who loved one another and loved the people around them in this camp. And they were there as prisoners in this camp. And in the face of overwhelming horror, they continued to love. And they risked their own lives for that way of love when everything around them was betraying them. They were living the gospel, and yes, as Jewish people, they were living today's gospel in expressing that love. Seven sentences in today's gospel, but oh, how powerful they are. At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now." Now. So why would he say now when he had just been betrayed? Now I'm going to talk to you about love. Yeah. Today's gospel is beautifully bookended by a revelation for all of us in this awful betrayal of Judas beforehand and in the betrayal and the denial by Peter afterwards. So in this moment, when Jesus is saying, now, this grave betrayal has happened, and Judas went out into the night, and right before Judas went out into the night, Jesus gave him communion. Knowing the evil that had taken over his heart, Jesus still chose to give him the bread of life. And then Judas went out. And then, right after that, Peter will deny his sacred friend three times. And right smack dab in the middle of all this betrayal and denial, Jesus models love. And that glorifies him. The glory comes. Now, as if we didn't get it, this glorifying of the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. I think they want us to get the point. He is glorified, recognized as God incarnate. His real essence was being revealed and revered. When he gave the bread to Judas, he was giving all of himself. His body, his blood, his soul, his very being, he was surrendering it completely because of what Judas was about to do. Hear the translation from the Message of these two verses. When Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorified, glory all around." And now, as a parent, Jesus talks to the people there and to us. And he uses this little word in Greek is tekton, and it means little children. It's the only time this word is used in the Gospels. You'll see it at other places in the New Testament. But in the Gospels, this little word is only used in this moment. So why now? Little children. And we find out how in the next verse. "You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. You cannot come. You're not ready. You're not ready." Simon Peter says to him, right after today's gospel, he says to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards." So just for now. And Jesus then proposes to them what he has for them now is this new realization, new awareness. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." So those of you that know your scripture might be thinking, new commandment, how is this new? He was really just quoting Hebrew scripture, but it is new. And it helps if we do some word study with this scripture. And what's helpful is that expert translators say that the word here that has that is that you love one another is ina, and it's also translated in Greek as in order that. So a better translation for this ina, which appears later in the verse as well, would be, "A new command I am giving to you in order that you may love one another, just as I have loved you, in order that you may love one another." It makes it makes much more sense when we hear it with that translation. And, you know, what this is called, what I'm doing right now, is Midrash. Ancient times, the rabbis would sit around and do this and say, "Well, you know, that word can be translated this way, and this word can be translated that way." And they do this today, rabbis, with the Hebrew text. Well, that's the same thing with this. That word ina is much better translated in order that, because what's different about this commandment when heard that way is that it's a flow out of Jesus to everyone else, including us, to understand. And it dawned on me that these beautiful white pieces of fabric that come out every Easter like this are a beautiful reminder to us of this flow that comes from the love of Christ and continues in us and through us and among us. So what Jesus has done for us, how Jesus has loved us, now we are to love others. So it seems to make perfect sense then. I love you in order that you'll love. When I was raising my children when they were little, I had this little bookmark on my refrigerator. Maybe some of you will recognize it's "Children Learn What They Live." Some of you know that one. I don't like this little cheesy picture of Jesus as a Norwegian guy, but if I'm going to read to you an adapted version. What I'd like you to think about is when it says children, listen to it as an adult, that this message is for us, not just children, but for all people. If it's written by, I want to give her due credit, Dr. Dorothy Law Nolte wrote this. "If children, meaning us, live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those about them. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world and to love. This is the message of Christ. I love you, so you love one another. Seems pretty simple, but it's not that easy to carry out in our lives, is it? Be in this flow and watch this new world order emerge. That's what's different about this commandment, is because of the love of Christ, this new community was being formed. And he says, and you know what's going to happen, is when you have to show your ID, like many of us quite a while ago had to show if we were buying alcohol, you have to show proof, right, of your age. Well, in order to show proof that you are followers of Christ, he says, it's like that Gandhi quote, be the change that you want to see in the world. If you're loving one another, that is going to be the identification of you as Christians. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And if you think of all that which was on the bookmark, if we can love that way, if we can behave that way with one another, the world will be transformed. I'm reminded always, we've said it a million times, but that quote from G.K. Chesterton that says, you know, it's not that Christianity doesn't work, it's that we haven't tried it. And it's very true. He put it out pretty simply for us. I'm reminded of a story that my sister Terry experienced. Some of you know my sister, and she used to live up in Jupiter about 20 years ago. And she worked up there, and she would go and take her lunch at the beach, and if it was hot, she'd sit in the car, and she would go to Du Bois Park, which is the name for the same family that the Du Bois is here in our school. They settled in this area and farmed up that in that way and up in that area and also down here. So this park is named for them. Well, 20 years ago, there was no showers. There were no water spigots at all. But she would sit in her car and frequently had the air on if it was summertime or something, having her lunch, and she's looking out at the ocean, and she notices one day that there's this elderly man walking down the beach, and he's having a really hard time walking, and he's walking toward the water, and he's carrying a bucket, and he's walking, and he's walking, and he's walking, and he gets all the way down to the ocean, and he scoops up a pail of water, and he's walking back, and he would stop every so often. And he was so feeble, and was getting out of breath, that he would bend over and hold on to the bucket to get his breath, and then stand back up. And my sister's in her car and thinking, why doesn't anybody help him? And then she thought, oh, maybe I should help him. What a concept. And so she got out of her car, and she went down, and she said, may I help you? And the guy said, well, yes, that would be wonderful. Would you mind carrying the bucket? And she said, no, I'll do that. And so she takes the bucket. She walks back up the beach with him very, very slowly up toward the pavilion or whatever was there. And there were some little steps. And he said, well, we're going to go right up there. And she said, okay. And they get closer. And there was his wife was sitting there on the steps. And he walked over to her. And he knelt down, and he washed the sand off her feet. So Terry stood there. She said it was all she could do not to cry. That's the love of Christ flowing out from him and continuing to flow right now in and through all of us. And note that Jesus doesn't say that you know you are my disciples if you believe the right things. No. They will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It's do as I do, not do as I say. Do as I do. That's the hallmark of the great parent, right? They're going to live out and model for us what we are now to be doing in the world. That's the message of his gospel. Our presiding bishop gets it. If it's not about love, then it's not about God. If it's not about love, then it's not about God. My sisters and brothers, we are in a moment in time when perhaps we feel just kind of disconnected from society, maybe some of the things that are going on in our world. We can't make heads or tails out of them. Some of the horrible events that go on in our world, or maybe we're in difficult relationships that we feel we just are having a hard time continuing to love. Maybe situations that are trying our patience or our hope. Well, we can take great, great encouragement from the line in Revelation that said, "See, the home of God is among mortals." Right here. The home of God is among mortals. See, I am making all things new. In every moment, there's always another chance. And then from Acts, that this love is for all people to experience, as demonstrated by these Jewish disciples reaching out to the Gentiles and helping them as well, and loving them as well, for all people. We don't do this on our own, but with a power working within us that can do greater things than we can ever ask or imagine. That's the hope and the patience that we can have in moving forward, is that we can tap into this flow of love that is constant and precious. This Easter transformation living is real and is a verb, as we've been saying for weeks. To be love, even, maybe especially, when things are difficult. Amen.